Hello and welcome to Canine Conversations with Joe, the podcast for you and your dog. Each episode will be full of hints and tips on training your dog in a fun, easy and friendly way. So don't forget to subscribe, and if you have any questions then don't forget to get in touch via my website www.paws-itivity.co.uk. Welcome to the first episode of 2021. This episode was recorded live via a Facebook live Q&A on barking and distractions. Plenty to get your teeth into on this one, so enjoy. Hello, I think I'm live. I will just give it a couple of seconds just so I can sort this bit out on the laptop, because comments and things do not come up on my phone when I cast live. So I figured I'd open up the laptop and I can answer any questions when they come up there. A couple of days ago, I think it was, I posted about if you've got any Q&As, etc., what might be troubling you at the moment with your pups. There were two distinctive things that came up. There were lots of things, but there were two distinctive things that came up. And that was mainly around barking and distractions. So that's what I'm going to cover today. I'll probably get sidetracked. Those of you that know me will know that I get sidetracked really easily. So again, if you have any questions or anything like that, then do put it in the comments below. And if I can't cover it today, I'll do some more of these, because again, we're sort of locked down again. So I'll bring back some of the other things that we did from lockdown 1.0. So keep an eye out for those. I may even do some new things that I've been thinking about. So I'll see. I'll be here to kind of keep you and your pups entertained through everything while we work through this sort of tier 4 lockdown. But it doesn't seem like it. When I'm out and about working, the roads are still ridiculously busy. Ridiculously busy. So yeah, I'm not quite sure even how we are even locked down at the moment, because I can't see any difference. I can't even see any difference, but hey ho, nothing like lockdown 1.0. It's not really a lockdown, is it? So barking and distractions. So barking is actually really interesting. And those of you, hi, Mick, will probably be going, yeah, Joe, where's your book? Yeah, it's coming. I promised myself that I would finish it during the Christmas holidays. Hi, Sarah. But I kind of decided that actually, when have I had any time off? So I did actually take some time off pretty much over Christmas and New Year. So I will try and do my book, because my book, I started that during lockdown 1.0, and it's all about banning the bark. And I did a course on it that ran really, really well. Everybody seemed to really, really like that. So rather than just keep running it as a course, I've decided to turn that into a nice, a quick and easy book for you all. So I want it out for Christmas, and life just got in the way. So I will be having a book come out as soon as I can just get the last little bits done for you. But I'll cover some of the basics when it comes to barking. First of all, you need to think about why your dog is barking. So are they barking at home, in the garden? Are they out on a walk? Are they indoors? Think about the environment your dog is barking in. And then you need to think about, right, are they barking in one location, two locations? Is it anywhere? But then what is causing the specific barking? So is it because, say, they're in the garden and they can hear another dog barking, or they've just seen a pigeon? Is it that they're out on a walk and they can see another dog further along the path that they want to get to, and they're on the lead or something like that? Why is your dog barking? So this will require you to have a little bit of a think about it, really, and work out what's causing them to bark. Now, you've got to also remember that dogs, we bred them to alert us to things. Originally, we wanted our dogs to say, oh, tell us if there's something about. So more often than not, you might find that your dogs are giving you an alert bark. They're saying, hey, look, there's the postman. Hey, look, there's so-and-so up there. And what we need to do is, as with anything, those of you that have trained with me before, it all comes down to those wonderful, wonderful, wonderful 3 Ds. So that distance, distraction, and duration. So we can build up our dog's tolerance to whatever it is that might be causing them to bark, and teach them actually there's a better way to behave when they see or hear this trigger, so there is not constant barking driving you insane. Because I think a lot of us now, we're a bit more at home and we're spending more and more time with our dogs, we're actually noticing that this barking, it's actually a lot worse than we initially thought, and we'd actually like to curb it. Now, if your dog's barking because of what you think might be separation anxiety or something like that, that's a whole different topic. So I'm not even going to get sucked into that rabbit warren today or anything like that. That's just a whole different thing. So I'm talking about today the barking for letting you know that there's something out there that actually they want to either tell you about it, or they want to go away because they're nervous about it. What can we do about that? So when it comes to anything like that, I want you to think about your 3 Ds. And you also need to think about rewards. So what is your dog getting from doing this barking? So it's not necessarily always about food. You've got to think about, what is your dog finding rewarding? Are they barking and then this thing they're barking at goes away? So if they're barking at a cat on the fence, does the cat go away? Probably, unless it's a really, you know, one of those cats that just sits going, you can't get me. So you want to have a think about how your dog is being reinforced for doing this behaviour, and what can we give them and teach them that is more valuable rather than doing this barking. So what I will do is, a few people have mentioned that it's mostly in the house, not really on walks, or it's barking towards other dogs. So what I will do is give you a for instance when it comes to say your dog's in the garden. So I think, cars and bikes, growling. So I'll do a couple. We'll do in the house, sort of in the house and out and about. So let's say, a good one. When you're indoors and there's another dog, it comes on the telly, or an animal on the telly, something like that, that your dog spots, hears, and then they want to start attacking the telly. So what you can start doing is, one, we need to establish whether your dog's reacting to the movement on the telly, the sound of the dog on the telly, or both. So if the sound's off, does your dog still notice the movement of a dog on the telly and think they're going to bark at it? Or is it when they hear a dog whimper or whine on the telly? Maybe it's another animal. Maybe it's the football. It could be anything, absolutely anything. Whatever it is your dog gets triggered to bark at the TV, we can start working on that. So what we can start doing is we can put the TV on mute if it's the sound. And if you've got one of those clever smart TVs that you can play YouTube and stuff through that, this is really, really useful for things like that, because you can start to say, I can't see this right now because it's only on the TV once a week or something like that. But I can use YouTube. Now, first of all, you do not want to just keep repeating and repeating and repeating doing this, because you don't want to drive your dog insane by seeing something on the telly they can't get to and is winding them up. So any training you should be doing with your dog, literally no more than 3 minutes max. Just, nobody's got time at the moment, as it were. I know we're locked down, but let's face it, we've got lots of stuff to reorganise. We want to put stuff out on the lawn to chuck out. We want to go and queue at the tip for 6 hours. So no more than 3 minutes. Just set yourself up with your rewards for your dog. Whatever rewards you want for your dog, or what you want for your dog, sorry, let's rephrase that, your dog wants, that's what you're going to use. So you need to think about, what does your dog like? Me, I will quite happily jump through hoops for a Dapper Cake and Gary Barlow. But what does your dog want to do? Do they like chicken? Do they like ham? Do they like cheese? Do they like fish? Do they have a preference to anything? Do they like biscuits? Do they like something soft? You've got to use what your dog wants, then it's a proper reward. So one of my dogs hates cheese and fish. If I was to train him with cheese and fish, he'd just turn his nose up and he'd walk away. And am I rewarding him? Nope, I'm not. I might think, oh yeah, every dog likes a bit of cheese, hot dog and fish. But nope, they have preferences just like us. So make a note of what your dog likes. That's kind of lesson one. What does my dog actually like? Because I need to have something better, something that my dog likes, before I even put them anywhere in the distant vicinity of whatever it is that causes them to bark. So once we've got that, if we can then start adding in onto the TV, whatever it is might be causing them to do this trigger, but we can keep the volume really loud, really low or off, so that we can just start working with them at a distance away from the telly as far as we can get. So that might be the other side of the living room, so that they can hear this maybe going on just very gently. Again, very similar to kind of what you might do with your fireworks or something like that. You just want to encourage your dog to understand that there's something better for them rather than charging at the TV or barking at the TV. Teaching settle is a really, really, really good way to work around this, because if you can teach your dog to settle on a mat or their bed away from the TV, and then you can gradually bring that settle mat or whatever is closer to, you know, the TV or the sofa or wherever it is you'd like them to settle, that's going to be fantastic if you can do that. Settle's brilliant for so many things. But ultimately, we want to teach them that when they see this trigger on the TV, that there's no point in barking and jumping at it or anything like that, because actually we've got something better for them around us, around our feet, on the settle mat, somewhere like that. That's what we're going to teach them. But you've got to start off gently. There's no point if, you know, your dog likes to chase horses on the TV, sticking an episode of, I don't know, the horse racing on or something like that, because all they're going to see is just all these horses, and you are setting them up for failure. And if your dog can practice a behaviour, it will continue. So you need to set your dog up to succeed so that they're not able to carry out that behaviour anymore, because if they can do it, they will. So we need to set up the TV at a good distance away, as far as we can get from that TV, so that we've got more chance of keeping them with us. Now, even if you're at the furthest point of your living room or whatever, and it's, say, the TV's on mute and your dog still reacts when they see, I don't know, a cheetah or whatever, an elephant go across the TV, we know at that point we've still got more work to do further away. And that's where maybe we need to look at a bit more like settle, focus on us. I won't get into all of that, though. But ultimately, we're encouraging them that when they see or hear these things on the TV that make them go woof, 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 blah, 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 there's no point in doing it, because actually we've got something way better with us in a nice, calm situation, sitting with us further back. And then we can gradually make our way further and further forwards towards the TV until we're actually just sitting down and relaxing again. And you can gradually, obviously, you're starting to fade out the rewards that you're throwing to your dog, so that eventually they've learned a whole new behaviour and has got more value. So you do not need to constantly be doing this treat, 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 ball, 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 or anything like that. We don't want to do that. We want to encourage, certainly in the living room, I know our dogs like to run around and play with their toys and get all silly, but it's nice to be able to just sit down in the evening once they've had, the puppies have had their witching hour and they've been playing with all their toys and they've just had their dinner and they've got that burst of energy and they're going all crazy. It's kind of nice when they actually just go, ah, and then you can go, ah, and you can just relax as a family. That's what we want to aim for. So it's all about gradually adding in these 3 Ds. So you have your dog further and further away from the trigger point, i.e. the TV in this particular scenario, and you gradually add in the distance, so the closer to the TV, the distraction. So that might be how loud the TV is getting, or what you've even got on the TV, whether it's dogs at a distance, dogs up close, just the sound of a dog and not the actual visual of a dog moving across the screen. And then, of course, there's the duration, so you can build it up. So eventually you can watch 101 Dalmatians the whole way through rather than just 3 minutes of it. So that's what you need to do. So no matter how brilliant you think a behaviour is, you can always get it better using your 3Ds. And remember, you mustn't increase them all at once, because that's, again, just setting your dog up for failure. So I like to think of them as like some scales. So if I'm going to raise one of my 3Ds, I'm going to lower my criteria just slightly on one of the other ones just to balance it out again. And then I'll raise them both back up a little bit. Because if I suddenly just raise all this criteria, say, right, OK, I've worked on you settling on a mat 5 metres away from the TV. I'm now going to sit you right in front of the TV. I'm going to watch this 101 Dalmatian show. And yeah, here we go. It's not going to happen. So that's not fair. It's not fair on your dog at all. If you know that there is a doggy show or something or whatever that you want to watch that triggers your dog to bark at the TV, either pop them in another room if you can with a nice frozen Kong. You can make sure they've had a really nice long walk so that they're super tired. But make sure that you're not setting up to fail. They must not have a chance to repeat this behaviour. Because if they can do it, It will continue. Simple as that. Because on some level, your dog is getting reinforcement for the behavior they've chosen to do. So if they're choosing to do it, it's because they're being rewarded for it. Whether that's on their own, whether you're inadvertently rewarding something, it will continue. So the same thing basically applies whether you're in the living room and they're triggering to the TV. If they're out in the garden and they can hear another dog barking, or they can hear the little dingly bells from cats or other dogs passing, or motorbikes, anything like that that really does kick the dogs off when they're in the garden and they suddenly hear somebody going past the garden. Whoa, 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 whoa. That's it. And World War III breaks out in your garden. It does if you have terriers like my lot. So what you again need to do is, this requires a lot of management indeed. And there's no quick fix for when you start to step outside of the home, because you can't control that environment as well as you can in the living room. You know that if you're in the living room or the kitchen, you know that there's not going to be some stranger going past. You've got complete control of that environment. So in your garden, you've got a relative amount of control, but you can't stop people going past or neighbours making a noise or the sounds of things or birds flying over or cats running around or anything like that. So you've got a certain amount of control in your garden, but you've not got full control of the environment. And once you step out of your front door, anything could come along, anything at all. So you've got to be prepared for anything. So again, you've got to build up your levels to get towards these areas that cause the most triggers. So for instance, Sarah said that her dog barks out and walks when they see other dogs, children, people with hats or a stick. And another Sarah said, yeah, people, cars, bikes and other dogs. Although it's all quite friendly, it's just the excitement of seeing this other dog. So again, what you want to do is you need to make sure that, this is where it gets a bit tricky. One, you need, if your dog is off lead, you need an excellent recall. Because if your dog can bark towards another dog and they're running up to it or anything like that, that behaviour is going to continue. Simple as that. It's not going to stop without a lot of work. Because again, your dog's being reinforced by going, woo, 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 and running forwards to see this person, go and play with this dog, whatever the situation is. So you need to make sure that you, if your dog's off lead, you have got an excellent recall. So that as you see one of their triggers maybe coming around the corner, because it always happens on a corner, it's never on a nice straight bit. It's always somebody coming around the corner with that trigger. Always, 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 always. So beware of corners, okay? You're coming up to a corner on your walk. Prep, okay? Get your dog next to you. Recall them before that corner. You can get your treats out and start sprinkling across the floor and say, hey, look, I'm the most fun thing around. So that you can start to sneak around that corner and see if there's any of those cheeky triggers there. But when your pup sees another dog, ideally, what I would suggest is that either if you cannot detour, I would like you to come kind of off the path. You need to come off the path so you can increase this distance away from the trigger. Okay, because we know that we're already going to have the distraction, because they're going to want to go and see this dog bark at the cyclist, whatever, whatever. So what we need to do is we need to work our way back towards maybe 20, 30 metres, something like that. Where our dogs can quite happily listen to us, i.e. when I say happily listen to us, can you get your dog to sit when this distraction that causes them to bark is around? It doesn't have to be a sit, any behaviour that they know, whether it's paw, down, anything, just a behaviour that they know really well. If your dog cannot do this behaviour, then you're too close to this distraction. It's as simple as that. So you know that dogs on corners, it is Bobby, it's always dogs on corners, always, 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 it's always going to be. You just know it. It's like they hide around there and it's always a jogger, something like that. It's always around the corner, always, always, always. So yeah, beware of corners. Prep for it though. You know a corner's coming up because you can't see any further on straight on. So prep for those corners. I've lost my train now. So again, you know that if you can't get a simple behaviour like your sit or something like that that your dog knows, you're too close to the distraction. So you need to start thinking about, right, okay, so that dog's there, I'm 5 metres away and my dog can't concentrate on me, so I need to now try at 10 metres. Now it might get to a stage where you think, okay, I'm 30 metres away and my dog can just sit and watch this person, cyclist, other dog go past, and they're quiet Fabulous. That's what we want to work on. So we know that at that point, at say 10, 15, 30 metres, whatever it is, it's individual for every dog. That's the point we want to work out. That's our little sweet spot. We know we've got their attention. And you want to make sure that you can get to that point, this distance away, as quickly as possible when you see a trigger. So you can start saying to your dog, let's go. We're going to go this way to encourage them to go off in this direction. And something amazing is going to happen. You know, you're going to do your little trick repertoire. You're going to do sit down, paw, so that these other people can just pass without any, basically your dog gobbing off at them going, rah, 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 rah. No matter how friendly it is. Believe you me, you ever met me out on a walk with Alan? You know about it. You know, because that's all Alan did. Rah, 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 rah. And yeah, there's no malice in it, but it's intimidating. It's intimidating. So Alan comes back on the lead. You know, some days he's really, really good, but then other days he just forgets himself again. But again, this is just terriers and fluffy things. Little fluffy ones. That's where we've got some of our issues. And what we want to do is when we're at that distance, we can build up their happiness. You know, so like sit, paw, and they're not reacting and barking at this thing that's passing. And then you can gradually start working your way closer. And closer and closer. Now, if you've got friends with dogs, this is where you can start using them. Say, oh, hey, can you come meet me at this point on the woods? You know, go up to a roost hole or somewhere like that where you've got a nice bit of open space. You can see what's coming. But your friends can maybe just loop round while they're doing their walk. They could just loop round you, something like that. So that when you can see them coming, you can just take your dog off to the side and do some work. And your friends can just carry on and then come back round again. Simple things like that, so that your dog starts to just get the general idea that being at this distance away from this trigger, it doesn't matter, because actually mum's way more exciting. Or dad, sorry, I'm being sexist. So again, that's how it comes into it, those 3 Ds. And you're going to hear me harp on about these 3 Ds. In fact, I should just have it tattooed across here. But I'd get it the wrong way around, actually, because when you do like these videos, it's kind of backwards, isn't it? So I'd have to make sure that I did it but the right way around. But it's the 3 Ds. Okay, so if you always think about these 3 Ds, right, if my dog is failing, I need to make these 3 Ds, I need to take them down. I need to take them down. So if my dog's failing, reduce the 3 Ds, okay? If the behavior's getting worse or continuing at the same level, your dog is being rewarded for it at that point. Now, whether it's you rewarding it, your dog rewarding themselves, if a behavior's continuing or escalating, there is a reward and reinforcement coming in there somewhere. So you need to, if it's a behavior you don't want, you've got to stop the reinforcement. You've got to stop it, because if they can keep doing it, it will continue. Simple as that. Now remember, a reward for your dog can be anything. It doesn't have to be food. It can be the fact that they bark and a dog goes away. It could be a squeaky toy. Even eye contact and a smile. You know, your dog wants your contact. They want to be with you. So even simple things like that, like, good puppy, you've got your verbals, you've got a little scritch and a scratch and a hug. Just telling them they're a good pup and giving them a lot of love and everything like that, that's a reward. Okay, but if your dog, for instance, doesn't like being touched so much, don't use that as a reward. So this is where you've got to know your dog's own individual preferences. It's all very well and good saying, oh yeah, just give them a bit of hot dog, What if they don't like hot dog? So you have to think about it. If they don't like a certain ball, but they like a squeaky ball, make sure you've got a squeaky ball. Okay? It's just thinking it a bit outside the box, just to make sure you know what your dog wants. So remember those 3 Ds. If the behavior's failing, if you're getting your barking, you're too close to the distraction and the trigger. If it's continuing and not improving, there's your dog still getting reinforcement somewhere, and your reward maybe isn't as exciting and as desirable as what they're doing for their own self, their own reinforcement of barking and the scary bicycle or the scary dog goes away. So you need to increase that distance. Ultimately, it comes down to that distance. That's what you want to look for the most. So I hope that helps on some of the barking. But of course, all of this will be in my barking book. So which I will do, I promise. I've only been saying it for 6 months or so, haven't I, everybody? I don't know, but I'm sorry. I will do it. I will. But I'm just a bit worried that I've repeated myself a few too many times, because I think the word count's just way too high. So I don't want it to be that high. Anyway, so I'll probably waffled on like I'm doing right now. Anyway, so that covers some of your barking at home, out and about, garden, etc., etc. Just remember, if you can't control the environment as well, you've got to prep. You've got to prep and be ready for some basic behaviours, or just to get out of dodge and just say, okay, let's go. Let's go. I don't want you failing. Let's go. And yet, dog walking is supposed to be social, but you don't want to set your dog up to fail. Everybody will be quite happy if you just wave, say, I just wave. You don't need to say hello to everybody on a walk. You've got to think about you and your dog. Because if you want to have your dog behaving a certain way on your walks, you've got to work at it. It doesn't just happen. Right, so that's your barking. Distractions. So, of course, this barking, you know, the dogs are generally going to bark because of a distraction, or they're going to put on a lead because of a distraction. So walking past, so Danica's got walking past distractions, not pulling on the lead and reacting to distractions from Sarah, jumping up at runners and things like that. Yeah, so again, it's another bit of a distraction. It comes down to distractions. So, Hayley, so what you need to do, you really need to figure out what's causing the barking. And it could be a number of things. So it could be an alert bark, woof, woof, there's somebody at the door, woof, woof, there's something going past. Is it for attention seeking? There's lots of different types of barks. So, you know, your dog might just have one bark, they might have four or five. So once you can figure out what bark is what, and if you get really geeky with your dog, you don't have to get as geeky as I do, but you can start to figure out, hang on a minute, that barks because they're a bit worried. That barks to alert me. That barks because they want to go in the garden. So what you can do as well, and I'll cover this all in the book, but ultimately you can teach them to bark on cue and things like this. So there's lots of things that you can do on the side. But again, it depends. Best way to stop. Oh, sorry. Once it's started. So if it's already started, so you've got to remember that they've failed, or, you know, it's not a failure, but the environment or whatever, one of the D's was too high for them to cause them that barking. If it's something generally that if I'm at home or something like that, what I tend to do is I tend to go away. I tend to leave them to it just so that they know they're not getting any additional reinforcement from me. Because a lot of the things they want to do to say, hey, does mummy react? Does mummy go and get the door? Does mummy get up? Does whatever, whatever. So I tend to get up and leave just so that they know that the consequence for them for any unwanted barking is that I leave. So if they bark at the front door, do you know what? That's one thing I allow, because it doesn't bother me that they bark because somebody's knocking at the front door. Quite frankly, my hearing's not the best, so it helps me know that I've got somebody at the front door. Any other barking, I don't allow. And when you've got a multi-dog household as well, that can be even harder, because one dog will set off the other dogs and then it will just be this repetitive cycle loop. But what you'll find out for anybody with a multi-dog household is one dog will be doing most of the barking for either one situation or all situations. And that's the dog you want to work on the most. So the biggest problem, the biggest area, that's where you want to work most. But once it's started, I tend to leave and do something somewhere else so that any reinforcement from me is coming somewhere else. So if they've, for instance, the window cleaner, okay, mine flip out at my poor window cleaner. I make sure that I'm well away from the window cleaner. So if the window cleaner is at one side of the house, I'll take mine to the other side of the house and just do some training, real basic stuff, you know, sit down, throw a treat, blah, blah, blah. And then when my window cleaner's going back around the other side of the house, I go back to the other side of the house, just so that I know that if there is going to be any barking, I can control it well away from whatever it is that's causing them the trigger. I'm going to leave so that they know that the barking's not going to get anything. But once you get to the stage where you've taught barking on cue, then that's where you would start adding in your shh, quiet, something like that. There is no point at all if you've got your dog going, no, quiet, shut up, because all you're doing is barking along with them. So there is no point whatsoever in telling them no, quiet, or things like that if you've not trained your quiet. If you're just saying, will you shut up, it's not going to do anything. They're just like, hey, mum's joining in barking, let's bark some more, woohoo. So yeah, don't even bother with anything like that. Linda, if you can, I can't remember the setup of your bits and bobs, whether bows in a crate or anything like that. But if they're barking in the car, one of the best things to do is, if you can block their vision. So if they're in a crate, cover the crate over. Obviously make sure that you've got some airflow at the bottom or something like that. But it's generally, there's just a lot of stimulus going on. So I would just start off with covering them over. You'd be very surprised with just what a simple cover can actually achieve. If you've got one of those where they're in the boot and you've just got the dog guard up, you can still start to black out your windows, as it were. I know you can put some newspaper up or something like that. Don't completely block your vision, but then you can start whittling it down a little bit. Remember, vans and things, they don't have back and side windows. So you can start to do that just so that they've not got as much vision. But that is one of the key things that I would do, is blocking their vision for barking in the car. If you leave the room with the bark. Okay, so I wouldn't, Ali, I wouldn't be, when she's barking in the room, it's either going to be, the FOMO, fear of missing out, or, which more than likely, knowing Poppy, it probably is, or it could be along the lines of separation anxiety. Everybody is panicking about separation anxiety at the moment because of getting their puppies during a lockdown or something like that, and you're all working at home and always around your pups and everything. Separation anxiety, it's a word that gets freely used a lot, but it's quite a big deal in terms of behavioural. It's not necessarily what your dog has got. But what I would be doing is, ultimately, you don't leave them to scream it out. It could just go on for hours and hours and hours and hours. There's no point. You need to train them to be happy to be on their own. So again, that's working in little teeny tiny increments. So that they do start to settle on their own. If they're screaming it out, you need to be sure that, hey, do you need to go to the toilet? Anything like that, you just don't know. And screaming out at some point, it's not really going to make any difference, because you're going to go back in at some point, and all they've learnt is, well, I've screamed for 5 hours. And if I scream for 5 hours, mum comes back. And then if you go out for 6 hours, I'll scream for 5 hours before, I'll try 5 hours and a bit, and then mum still comes back. So letting them scream out is not going to make too much of a difference. You're just stressing them out, really. It's better to just make sure that before they are left alone in a room or anything like that, that they've been fed, watered, they've had some exercise, anything like that. You can leave them with a frozen Kong or something like that to entertain themselves. You can always leave the TV or radio on as well, just to give them a little bit of sort of comfort and a little bit of noise. But you still need to teach them to be comfortable on their own, especially because of all of the lockdowns and everything. They're just not used to being on their own. And you look at my Alan turned one yesterday, one. In that whole year, he's never been alone. There's always been a human about, because of, a shared house and everything like that. Even if I've gone out, there's always been someone around that whole year. He's never been on his own. Now, he's got all the other dogs. So I never envisage him having a problem with being on his own, because he'd be with all the other dogs, and they're just like, oh yeah, thank God they've finally gone out and left us. Brilliant, I'm going to go to sleep now. But if I didn't have the other dogs, I would be severely worried right now, because he's never been on his own at all in a year, which is sad. But that's just the way life is at the moment. Some things you just can't do. But when it comes to leaving them on their own, you definitely need to work with it, and teaching them, their crate, their pen, their settle. That will really help. But you need to build it up very slowly with those 3Ds. So it is just, right, okay, I'm going to see if you can cope with 5 minutes. If you can cope with 5 minutes, great. You can try 6 minutes. But if they can't cope with 5 minutes, you've got to start way, way back, and, start with just 30 seconds, or even them being in their crate while you're still inside, and gradually building it up. And it does take time. It does take time, but it's better to take time rather than have a stressed dog that's maybe chewing on their crate bars or anything like that and cracking all their teeth. So you have to be really, really careful. But don't, nobody panic that, oh my gosh, my dog's got separation anxiety. Separation anxiety is a big thing. But it, chances are it's not necessarily separation anxiety. You can use a lot of the separation anxiety training things to help, but more often than not, when it comes to things like that, look, see, I said I wouldn't digress into separation. You can use a lot of the training things for separation anxiety for everything else. You know, so it's always good to practice on some of the separation, the distress really of being alone, for normal training. But if they're barking, there's no point leaving them to scream it, because all they'll do is they learn that, well, I scream for an hour and mum comes back, I scream for 2 hours and mum comes back. So they just learn that they're not daft. Anyway, right. So distractions. If your dog's getting in any way distracted by anything, it's because that whatever it is they're seeing that is that distraction, it's too close. Okay, so it comes to those three D's. You've got your distractions, and if your dog, so if you think of everything kind of, I don't know, there's some probably magical shape to this, and probably a triangle, I don't know. That's going to get really geeky. I'd have to try and keep it simple. If you think that, right, okay, the distraction is causing my dog to bark, it's causing it to pull on the lead, it's causing to the, if this distraction is causing that, you need to increase the distance away or the length of time it can, your dog can see that distraction. So, yeah, that's right. It is right, Abby. Maddie, I'll try and remember to come back to you. Yeah, just build up the time gradually, Abby. Ali. But knowing Poppy, it's just more of a fear of missing out, I think, for little lady. So yeah. So your distractions increase your distance away from that distraction. So if you can walk past distractions, so Danica, walking past distractions, obviously Ripley, Danica, is really, he's a little baby, he wants to say hello to everything and explore everything. That's great. But what I like to try and do is, especially in my puppy groups, those of you that meet my puppy groups, I think of it as 1, 2, 3. So hello, sniff, goodbye. Okay, because your dogs are quite happy. They just want to be able to say hello, sniff, and goodbye nice and easily. So you can just say, oh, hello, sniff. And then you've got your goodbye, so you've got your let's go. So you can start saying, okay, we're off now. So that they're not just constantly trying to get back. They know that that's the end of it. However, if they get sort of so over the top, sort of like what's called a frustrated greeter, if they get way too, they're on the lead or something like that, and they're desperate to get to their other friend, you need to increase that distance away from them. You have to, because if they can't concentrate in a sit on the same side of the road, you need to maybe get to the other side of the road. So that once you've got your dog understanding that, yeah, okay, I can see my friend over there, but I'm going to sit nicely and watch them, we can start bringing that distance closer together again. And what you can do again, if you've got sort of a friend that can help you, if your dog's getting all excited, and you create this distance, and then you get to a point where your dog's quite happy to sit, paw, and everything like that with their friend 10 meters away. If their friend comes a meter closer and they get all excited and jump up, their friend can go to step backwards a little bit again. And you gradually build up that desire for them to stay with you, because you are more rewarding. You've got more goodies, you've got more love, you've got lots more nice things than this enjoyment of saying hello, sniff, goodbye to their friends. I hope that kind of makes sense on the distraction thing. But again, it's relatively simple with that distraction when you look at it with the 3 D's. 3 D's again, 3 D's, 3 D's, 3 D's. So yeah, anything to do with those, if you've got anything to do with your dog training, you can relate it into these 3 D's. And if you've got behavior that you don't like, you need to distance yourself away, you know, take these D's down. If you've got a behavior, say you've got a really good sit, and teaching sit, okay, sit and settle. If you can teach your dogs a really good sit and settle, everything can pretty much be started to work with. So practice your sit and settles. I've forgotten what I was going to say now. See, I knew I should write notes, but I just thought, I'll come on fly. Just come on fly. So I've just got back from a dog walk and I thought, if I don't do this now, I'm going to sit down and start eating Jaffa cakes and you'll never see me. So I can't remember what I was going to say now. What was my train of thought, everybody? I can't even remember anymore now. I've forgotten. Brain gone. Never mind. I hate that. Never mind. Just always, yeah, so these 3Ds. 3Ds, you can always... Oh, yeah, your sits. So if you've got a really good sit, you can always make that sit even better using the 3Ds. So if you've got your dog on a lead and you say sit, and they sit, brilliant. Okay, so can they do that off lead in the field? Brilliant. Okay, yay. Can they do that off lead in the field while their friend's running 20 metres away? Can they do a sit when you ask them to, when you're 10 metres away and their friend is 10 metres away and they've got a choice, they're in between you and their friend? Would they sit? So that's gradually building up the 3Ds, the distance away from you, the distraction of their friend and their duration. Can they sit for 3 seconds, 5 seconds, 10 seconds? You can always increase how great your behaviour is with 3Ds. And you can always help your dog learn the behaviour better by decreasing the 3Ds. So I hope that kind of makes sense. With those 3Ds and your rewards and where their dog is getting their reward, you can start to fix things. Okay, this is not getting geeky about it. So that's the basics of it. Hang on, there was... Maddie. Right, so no surprise for a Labrador there, really. Lots of dogs pull. But ultimately, why does your dog pull? One, you're going to follow. Two, they're going to get somewhere. Three, as we're pulling on that lead, and not necessarily, you know, yanking or anything like that, but we've got tension on that lead. That's what we're putting in our opposition reflex. So, you know, if I was to just push you, you're going to push back because you don't want to just flop over. That's the reasons for pulling on the lead. I've got a couple of ways that I really like to teach loose lead walking. My favourite way is in three stages. So as daft as it may sound, but it really does work and it's clear cut and makes it so easy for your dogs to understand, especially when you've got a bigger dog, because again, if they can practice that lead pulling at any point, it's going to continue. So if it's just you walking your dog, then that's great. You can control that. You can say, right, okay, we're doing this walk, blah, blah, blah. But if anybody else walks your dog or does any training with your dog or spends any time with your dog, you need to make sure that they're also doing exactly the same thing as you're doing. Because if they don't, hey, they can practice a behaviour you don't want. And it's going to make your training journey so much harder. So one of the easiest ways that I like to teach loose lead walking to my dogs, and it can be done with any of the dogs, really. It does take time. You do look daft doing it, but it works. It's what I just call my Ministry of Funny Walks. So again, you're going to start in an area where there is little to no distraction. So start this at home, in the living room, in the garden. Yes, absolutely nowhere. Just start practicing it randomly. And you're going to have your dog in front of you. Lots of cookies in your treat pouch. Nice and easily accessible treat pouch. I don't want you fumbling around looking for a reward. It's easier if you've got it nice to hand. And you're just across your living room. You're just going to walk backwards with your dog in front of you. And your dog's going to follow you. You remember how you did puppy class? Like Rico, come here puppy. Da, da, da. You're going to do that. And just going to walk backwards. Across the living room, kitchen, garden. And then what you're going to do is that's also how you're going to do your walks outside. So I suggest getting your dog in the car if you can and going to your favourite walking place before you let them off the lead and just walk back carefully because it's slippery and muddy and everything like that. You can start walking backwards. Again, just practice outside. If you're going to start this in the middle of Horsham Park, it's not going to happen. You've got to put in the groundwork at home first. So just start this at home. Before you start taking it outside. This, I'm just really, really putting this into teeny tiny little bits because just to give you an idea of it all. So once I've taught this walking backwards at home, so me, dog, and we're both walking backwards like that, I start to take it outside. So I will walk my dogs backwards just towards my car outside or van. They get in the van, I take them for a walk, they get out of the van, and I generally walk somewhere where you literally only need to walk maybe 10 metres and they can come off lead. So that's what I tend to do, and I'll just sort of mooch on backwards, and like, yay, well done puppy, off lead, and that's it, they're off they go. Then what I start to do is, from that walking backwards, is you go back to the 90s, as I like to put it, woohoo, and instead of walking backwards, we're going to sidestep and do the grapevine. Okay, so you can start practice that. Definitely start that in the living room. Okay, definitely, because it takes a while to get those 90s moves back. But you're going to grapevine across the living room. So all you've done is you've changed from you and your dog. I'll do that because that looks like a dog then. So this is you and this is your dog. And so you're coming backwards to begin with, like that, across your living room. Then stage two of the Ministry of Funny Walks, I'll try and do it that way because otherwise it looks like I'm going to move that way. So your dog hasn't changed their position. It's all that you've done is just turn to the side. And again, now you're just doing this. This way, puppy, this way. Okay, and then eventually, once you've practiced that, I can't do my hands. You're going to walk that way and your dog's going to be here. So your dog's not, all your dogs learn is just to stay by you. So you've gone from this to this to this. Oh, hang on. That. I love that. Time to do this all backwards to that. And all that does, it's the simplest way. And it's so simple to do. Yes, you do look silly walking backwards and dancing around and things like that. Just make sure you know, if you're going to walk backwards or anything like that, have somebody with you or something like that. Don't do it near a road or anything like that. Just be sensible. But remember, if they can practice pulling on the lead, it's going to happen. It's going to happen because they're being rewarded for it. They're getting to go where they want to go, and you'll just follow. You can always do the good old about turn. You know, no, we're going to go this way. No, we're going to go that way. No, you pulled, we're going to go that way. So you can always do that. You get dizzy. But again, it does work because you're just learning, well, hang on a minute. As soon as there's any tension on the lead, we use that, let's go. And we go back in this direction. So again, no lead jerking or anything like that. You just give your dog whiplash and you'll be at the vets with a damaged trachea or something like that. So you've always got your let's go, so that when you say to your dog, let's go, they know to just turn around and come with you. Let's go this way. Let's go this way. Or you can do the good old, right, stand still, they're right at the end of the lead. Brilliant. It's pouring with rain, don't care, I'm just going to stand here. And at some point, your dog can only go as far as that lead. You've got them on the lead. They can only go that far. In any direction, obviously 360 degrees, they can only go that far. At some point, whether it takes 5 seconds, 5 minutes, or 5 hours, their world is going to be, oh, I've sniffed everything now, I'm bored. And they're going to look at you. Now, come on, monkey, what are you doing? Yay, puppy, you looked at me. I do exist. I knew I wasn't a figment. And you can reward them for looking back at you. So again, then you can say, right, okay, then we're going to go this way. Let's go. So we're rewarding for that eye contact and staying with us. So that's another way you can start doing it as well. So I incorporate that with my Ministry of Funny Walks. So where I do my funny walks, if they're getting a bit excited or anything, I'll just stop and wait for some eye contact, especially with younger and adolescent dogs, because they're just like, oh my God. But remember, the longer your dog's been... Sorry. Yeah, see, another Labrador for you. Forgotten now. I shouldn't look at these comments. I wonder if I can, I don't know. Oh, there, I can flip them off and I'll have to come back to them. That's what I do. So I do my Ministry of Funny Walks because that's really clear to my dog. They can't go past me because I'm there with food in front. And they're not going to want to go past me when I switch. So that's how I do that. And, you know, aside from Dexter and Cassie, because they've just, oh, hello, no, Dexter's pretty good. But Alan is my best loose lead walker. Oh, and the best way to practice that loose lead walking is actually off lead. Now, obviously in safe places, don't go and try this on the M25 or anything like that. So nowhere near roads, nice and safe places, actually teach it off lead. Because the lead is, that lead is just there to stop them getting into trouble. We want our dogs really to just loose lead walk beside us anyway. That'd be nice. I mean, we want them to go off in the woods and sniff and be dogs and everything, but we want them to walk nicely beside us. We don't always want being yanked out of our arms. So teach the loose lead walking off lead. Get in the garden. Be erratic. Go backwards, forwards, dance around. Look, make it look like you're doing a Zumba class. Just, you know, if the neighbours call for help because they think you've lost it, no, I'm just dog training. You know, my neighbours are used to me now. They're used to me, years and years of it. So I think one, I don't even know how long I've been online for, so I apologise. I think if I bring all those. Okay, so Maddie, drop your cookie on the floor between your feet. That's because chances are maybe when your puppy was small or anything like that, when you've got smaller dogs or anything like that, I don't know what dog you've got, Maddie, but they're jumping up to get the cookie before, so a little bit of self-control, anything like that. So you can always drop the cookie on the floor so that they're not jumping up to get you. And again, similar sort of thing, just reward on the floor so that the reward's not coming from up. But working on, so if your dog's jumping up, digressing again, if your dog's jumping up and then you're wanting to walk, so what you're doing is your dog's jumping up, this is me, dog's jumping up, it looks terrible, doesn't it? Dog's jumping up and you're trying to walk. So what do you need to fix first? Well, the jumping up. Because if you add the walking, that's increasing the distraction. So if you can fix the jumping up, oh, hang on, I don't need to be jumping. If you can fix the jumping up while you're still, then when you add in the distraction of the walking, you'll have it fixed. Okay, so when you're talking about jumping and walking backwards, that's two things together. So if you know you've got a failure of the jumping up, you've got to do it while you're standing still. So that's a really good example of how you can tweak things with your Ds. I hope that makes sense. What's your name? Maddie, hope that makes sense. Hopefully I've just answered that for you, Maddie. I don't know how quickly this keeps up to date. So with the jumping up, reward at your feet. Okay, you've got, if your dog's jumping up, I tend to just walk away, turn my back and walk away, because they're generally wanting to jump up to get your attention, get some food, get something, chew on you. Depends how old your puppy is, or attention seeking. They're getting something out of it. So what is your dog getting by jumping up at you? Are you saying, no, get off, no, no, no? They like that. There's no point. The dogs learn by consequences. So if your dog jumps up, whee, but then you just turn and walk away, oh, sad. Okay, but your dog's going to learn that if I jump up at mum goes away. So I don't like that. I go sad. But if I come up to mum and I sit, mum stays. So you're going to teach a really good sit so that your dog's going to be much happier and has more value in a sit. So a sit is what's called an incompatible, I'm throwing a lot of information at you guys now, so a sit is what's called an incompatible behaviour for jumping up. So if your dog's jumping up, they can't do that from a sit. So that's an incompatible behaviour, so teach a really good sit. And they can get rewarded for that. Okay, so reward. Yay, clever puppy, sit. Yeah, good sit. So we're reinforcing and building more value from the sit. But if they start to get excited, yay, I like a sit, I'm going to jump up at mum, I leave. No more cookies. I come back, sit. Cookie. Okay, so it's all about two sides of a coin. And to prove the point, my dog jumped up when you did the no, yeah. And they will do, because all you're turning into is their own personal squeaky toy. That's all you're turning into. And they're like, yeah, oh my gosh, look, if I jump up, it makes my mummy squeak and dance. So, yeah, so just add in the three Ds, Maddie. Think about those three Ds. So is she jumping up in certain contexts or anything like that? So it'll be those three Ds. So reduce those down, think about the rewards, and you'll be fine. I haven't done leave it, actually, and I'll probably... Katie, I'll probably do that another time, just purely because I think I've been on for like an hour or something now. And I switched my oven on to heat up when I got back from the dog walk. So I really want to go and eat some food. And you know, like, you all know me, I can talk dogs till the dogs come home. But what I'll do, Katie, if you drop me an email, I'll add that onto the next one, because I'll do some more of these ones for you all. Because let's face it, we're all stuck at home with our doggos at the moment. you know, I can still work. If anybody's got any questions, I can still do one-to-one training, and I can either do that face-to-face or via Zoom. So I can still help you guys out. But for basic things, I will do my best to help you sort of just via these lives and everything like that. This live should save onto the Facebook, and then I'll try and save it and put it on YouTube or something like that. So Kaya will want something, Sarah. There will be something that Kaya wants and enjoys. It might just be that she likes a smile and a hug. There will be something that she likes. It could be really, really random. Those of you that might have seen Alan with his bowl. Alan loves his metal bowl. Absolutely goes silly for it. Okay, so I can use that metal bowl as a reward, because if I give him the metal bowl, he can bang it like a drum. And he likes doing that, so that's a reward. So I train with my metal bowl. Alan, sit. Oh, sit, here's your metal bowl, and he can bang the drums. So if your dog likes it, as silly as it might be, you can use it as a reward. So Beans used to really, really love, you know, those, you know, the thick reusable, not the plastic shopping bags, but the thicker ones that sort of rattle and shake and make a sort of bit of a noise. Beans love them. Somebody like, Beans, sit, and I'll throw him a bag. If they like it, it's a reward. Use it. So yeah, I'll do some more of these for you. So yeah, exactly, rewarded with tennis balls. Exactly, because and in fact, what they'll do is all those doggos that you know, the working doggos, that like their tennis balls or certain particular chews, if they've not got that desire to go and get something and be rewarded with something like that, they kind of don't make it. They've got to have that love, that kind of obsession to go find the thing to make the other thing appear. I mean, crikey, if you said to me, Joe, there is a box of Jaffa Cakes and all you need to do is do 10 burpees, well, I'd probably do it. But if you said, Joe, there's a box of Jaffa Cakes and you've got to do 100 burpees, oh, it's not worth it for me. No, it's all right. Thanks very much. So you've got to think about what you're asking your dog to do. And is the reward great enough? Because there is no way I'd do 100 burpees for a pack of Jaffa Cakes. Not going to happen. However, you say, Joe, do 100 burpees and I'll get you a private, intimate concert with Gary Barlow. Flip, I'll do those 100 burpees in 60 seconds or something, you know. So it's all in context, all in context. So you think about, what would you do? What's in it for you? Well, what's in it for dog? I hope that makes sense. So if anybody has any questions for the next one, I'll obviously try and remember to post in the group when I'm going to do a next one, and you can put some questions on that. That'll be, in fact, I might do that. I'll do that in a minute. I'll post and then you can all reply. If you've got a question for the next one, put it on that feed. And then I can just print those off again like I did for today, so that I can make sure I covered everything. But I think probably it might be a little bit of maybe loose lead walking, possibly lead reactivity. Again, can cover a bit of jumping up. And things like that, general, maybe a bit of doggy decorum, something like that. I don't know. Just whatever you want. I'll help you all. Yeah, I think that'll do. I think I've gassed on enough, really. And, well, I really want to go and eat some pizza. I went up for a really long walk today, so I deserve pizza. So thank you all for joining me. I'm glad you all enjoyed it. Thank you for everybody on your comments and everything like that. I'll do my best to keep helping you and your pups as we go along through this next little lockdown and everything like that. So take care. And hopefully I'll do another one, I don't know, maybe midweek or next week. I shall see how we get going. I'll speak to you all later. Take care. Have a good rest of the weekend. And take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening today. Plenty more to come. Don't forget to subscribe and sign up to my mailing list via my website, www.pause-ativity.co.uk. See you soon.